My title tonight is Confusion or Peace. Which one is it? What do you deal with the most? Do you have mainly peace in your heart or in your mind, in your home, with your family? Is it mainly peace or is it confusion? Now, I'll tell you something. The devil's going to make sure that you have some kind of confusion going on because he's always seeking whom he may devour. So this is where we're going to go to today. There was a conference I wanted to go to. Actually, it was in Nashville, and I wanted to go there, and I wanted to know who the speakers were. That's the first thing I want to know. If I'm going to a pastor's conference or a leadership conference, which I haven't been in a long time, but I always want to know who the speaker's going to be and what the content's going to be, what's the message, and where are they from. I want to know a little bit about the speakers. But it was sold out. I would have loved to have been there, but I didn't get to go. So when you hear a message of confusion and these little imps start talking in your head, or I'll share this with you. I was listening to Lindsay Roberts this morning, Richard Roberts' wife, and she was on her show on TV, and she was talking about the other day, she was home alone and she was doing her hair, and she said she had the radio on because she just said, I just like to have noise on. So she has the radio on or her phone and radio. Yeah, that's a thing of the past. So she has her phone on listening to Pandora probably, and there was a commercial that came on, and she said it was just a terrible commercial. And she said, I didn't do that. I had on good Christian music. It was playing, and all of a sudden, here comes this commercial. And she said, I just went over there and turned that phone off, and I opened my door, and I said, out, devil, out. She said, I didn't invite him in, and he cannot stay. And I was going to be speaking on this, and she went right down the line saying, if you invite that stuff in, it's going to stay, and it's going to build up. So I totally agree with that. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel, you can read it. They said, if we bow, we will burn. And that old message has been around for years. And if we don't bow to the message that Satan is putting in our heads and bringing around to try to confuse the body of Christ, if we don't bow, we won't burn. But if you start listening to that and you start playing and entertaining those negative thoughts, pretty soon you will be bowing over to those thoughts, and you will bow and you will hurt and you'll worry and you'll have strife and you'll be all stressed out. So I pray tonight that this message will be a blessing to you. But I want to talk to you about what message are you listening to? You've got to... Joyce Meyer says, pay attention to what you're thinking. She says, just pay attention to what you're thinking. And so hear what voices you are hearing. Hear what the thoughts are that's entering your thought life. Pay attention to that. And when you do, then you'll have to begin to seek God and say, well, you can see it yourself. Who's this message from? Where's it coming from? And who is the messenger? Well, we know what the Word of God says about that, and I'm going to take you there in just a minute. But pay attention to the thoughts. Who's saying that to you? Is that God or is that Satan? Is that God or is it demons? Is it heaven or is it hell? So you've got to pay attention to these thoughts. Now, we know in this earth, Satan is lusting overtime for more and more chaos. There's been chaos in the streets. All over 2020, they were literally burning down cities, and there was a certain group of people that wasn't saying a word about it. They were wanting to defund the police departments. They took over precincts and kicked the police department out. It was just unbelievable. And now to see the way Hollywood has bought into the lies. See, they've all bought in to this message, this chaotic message. And now these things that the Senate and the House have before them to vote on, these equality acts, I call them unequal acts, that's coming before them is just absolutely hideous. And so, church, listen, of all times, we really have to understand and know what we believe today. You know, you've had pastors in churches, and I hate to say this, but we've had ticklers of the ears, people that have itching ears, and of course you want to make your people feel good, but this is the time where, yes, you can make them feel good, but people today are seeking the truth. They want the truth of God. They're wanting to hear the truth. So with so many people promoting this satanic, hellish message, I can tell you today there is just insanity that just seems to be building. And you know where this chaos is coming from, because God says, I don't have anything to do with that. That when God came on the earth, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. In Genesis chapter 1, then God spoke out, and it came out of his mouth, let there be light. So when God sees chaos, he overwhelms it. He overtakes it by the power of his Holy Spirit. So if there's chaos in your life, you do not have to put up with it. You don't have to walk after that. Just because millions are promoting this message, this church, Landmark, as for me and my house, for you and us in God's house, we will promote the truth of the word. We are not going to stand with these lies. I don't care who likes it or not. It doesn't matter. We're not going to buy into all these lies and insanity that this world is trying to put out in front of us today. So the only sanity that I want you and I to stand together in is this, and that's the sanity that comes from God. Because he said, I am the truth. And he said, if you know the truth shall make you free. He who knows the truth knows it. Not the truth will make you free. He didn't say the truth will make you free. He said, when you know the truth will make you free. So I'm going to be a pastor. I promise you before God and the Holy Spirit tonight, I am going to speak the truth by the word of the Lord, because you really don't care about my opinion. So that's why I'm going to stay with this book, and we will know the truth, and it'll make us free and not bound. Today I put a little post on Facebook that said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Or there's another verse that says, "Where there is where the Holy Spirit is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. There is freedom, not bondage, not chaotic mess, not confusion, but there will be peace." So whose message are you listening to? And I want to ask you now, in this place that you're in right now, what are you listening to? Who are you listening to? And who are your children listening to? What's going on in your home with your children and your own life? Are you staying with God's people? How's your time being used right now? What have you used this last year and a half for? I believe, now this is my opinion, and I think it's a good opinion, but I want to say, during this last year and a half, what have you done with your time? I believe it's been a time to draw us back to repentance, bring us into repentance and seeking the Lord and getting close to him and getting into the word. Now, if we went over to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, probably the most quoted verse in the universe right now. Everybody has used it from the president on down, where it says, let me get 2 Chronicles. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now that's what everybody's quoting. But why did God say, if my people will do this? What was the reason? What was the cause? Well, let me read the verse above it. When I shut up the heaven where there's no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or I send pestilence among my people. A pestilence, you know what that is, don't you? But pestilence is a plague. And we've had a plague. We've had that. So he said, during this time, then use that, my people. Use that. You've been called by my name. Everyone listening, I'm sure you're called of God. You humble yourselves, you pray, you seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, and then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive your sins, and I'll heal your land. So that's God's promise to us, and that's why he said that, because they were experiencing a plague. So it's very important that during this time, I think it's been an exciting time. I've drawn closer to the Lord. I've gotten into his word more. I think I've even been preaching better. Now that's debatable with you. But let me tell you, I'm going to declare this next verse, and I've held it for a landmark ever since we birthed the church. I'll remember the very first prayer meeting we had in the house, and I used this word. He said, if you will do that, my people, I will heal your land and forgive your sins. And then he said, my eyes will be opened and my ears will be attentive to your prayer made in this place. For now, I have chosen and sanctified this house, and my name will be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now, I know this was Solomon talking about the temple, but I'm God's chosen too, and so are you. And Landmark is our house. There's other churches around. The body of Christ is the church, but we have buildings to go to worship. And in that very beginning of our church, I heard the Lord tell me, I have sanctified this house and my name will be there forever when you're dead and gone. I will sanctify this house. My name will be there forever and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. And perpetually just means it'll roll on and on forever. So evaluate yourself now. Have you been evaluating your soul? Don't just be evaluating COVID in the news and everything going on and everything else and everyone else. You know, some are evaluating the church, whether we should be open or closed, whether we should wear a mask or not wear a mask. And they've got their own ideas about it. And what happened when our loved ones passed from the church, or even one of our pastors in town, he passed from his church. Well, you know what? There were, 5 million people, they're saying, around the world that died with COVID. 5 million. And they didn't all die in the church. They died everywhere. So why people staying home from the church when people have died from COVID everywhere, in all families, in all places? So quit evaluating what you're seeing, what you're hearing on the news, and get over here to God's word and hear what his word is saying. Because I want to say this to you tonight. This confusion is so upsetting that not only in the world, but it's crept into the church. And it's taken a lot of people unaware. And a lot of people today do not know truth from error. They're having a hard time deciding, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. God said, do not eat of that tree. That's the tree of good and evil. But today, people don't know the difference. But Jesus died to help us to know the difference. He said, I give you life and death. Choose life. I give you light and darkness. Choose light. You are the light of the world. Now, Luke 21 and 26 says, men's hearts are failing them for fear, for looking after those things that are coming upon the earth. Now, he told us this is the way it's going to be in the last hours of the last days. And I see men's hearts failing them for fear every day. Some folks, and I'm not the only church saying this, pastors have said, we've got people that haven't been back to church in over a year. Now, is that fear or is that compromise? Is that fear or is that comfort? I don't know what it is, and I'm not going to judge it. I love you, but I'm saying you reevaluate and you evaluate yourself and take a look and see if your heart is failing you for fear. And if it isn't, then come on back and be in that house where God says, my eyes and my heart will forever be on the place that I have chosen to dwell. Of course, he dwells in our hearts. But when we come together, he said, where two or three are gathered together, I'm in your midst. So he's with us, church. But is there peace in your home? Or is there confusion in your home? Now, take a look at that, too. Take a look at your older kids. Since you've not been come to church, where are your children at? What's happening there? Even if you are in church and you're confused, whatever's going on, take a look at it. Come on. You've got to take inventory and find out what's going on in my life. Am I closer to God? Am I farther away? Are my children doing better? Or have they gone farther away from God? But you know what I hear in my spirit? I hear God saying this, you be still and you know that I am God. That's who I am. And is my arm too short that I can't reach you? No. God can reach us. He hears us. He sees us. And he said, no eye can see, no tongue can tell the things that I have laid up for those who love me. And I just don't like it, church, because the people that I thought were the very strongest, many have bought into these conspiracy theories, and I can't stand conspiracy theories. I know that we say, well, I'm at home and I'm watching online, and I thank God for all the preachers we have online. I thank God for the prophets. I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and don't you do that either. Because the Bible tells us not to despise prophesying. So we certainly don't want to do that. But I'm just saying there's so many people out there today with a word. Everybody's got a word. And there's so many churches and there's so many pastors preaching so many different things. So you get in the word and see what the Lord says. But I just don't want to see God's people walking in fear and walking in all these conspiracies going on. Now I'll tell you. Let me remind you, and I know you know my story, but it's a serious story, and I give honor to my husband and my daughter. And my little girl was 10 years old, and she and her daddy were killed in a drunk driving accident with a drunk driver. But do you think I quit driving my car? I couldn't quit driving the car. I couldn't quit going places. I just went to the beach the other day for 4 or 5 days and came back, and the Lord kept me. I had COVID and some of the people in the church had COVID. It was a very sad thing that we lost 3 people that we loved so much. But you know what? We couldn't just stay home the rest of our lives. We came back and God's been good to us and we've been blessed. So join us for church. And if you're not going, please go somewhere. Because I'm going to give you this word right now. Now here's where I want you to go. And some of you are going to shout me down when you hear it because you're so familiar with it. But I want you to listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Most of you have it memorized since the time you were children. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. For God is not, say it with me, God is not the author of confusion. Okay, I want to say, who's the speaker then? Okay, say that with me. For God is not the author of confusion. But do you know the rest of it? It says, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. God's not the author of this mess. He didn't author it. He didn't paint the picture for us. He didn't hang it up for us for over a year to look at and partake of. Nope. He says, I'm not the author of it, but I am the author of peace in all the churches of the saints. He loves the church. You say, he doesn't care about the building. No, he does too, because that's where we gather together to worship. Jesus told his disciples, he said, go to the upper room. When you get up there, they'll have that place all prepared for us to have the Last Supper. So places are very, very important to the Lord, and our churches are important to us. So who's behind all this? You just read it. If God's not the author of the confusion, then who is? You know the devil is. I'm telling you who the speaker is. The speaker is Satan himself and the imps of hell. And where's it coming from? Oh, he comes right out of hell. And he comes out of the spiritual wickedness in high places. So we know where he's coming from and we know what his message is. His message is about what? His message is deception. He comes to deceive the world And it says those that don't believe, they have blinders on that they can't see because they're blinded. But you and I are not blinded, and we're not bound. And we see things in the spirit. That's how we do this. We see things with our spirit. We live by faith, not by sight. One day when we get to heaven, we'll live by sight, and we'll never have to live by faith again. We'll live by sight. But as for right now, we live by faith. Now, don't you dare give him more attention, and don't give him more authority than he's already taken. He's already taken so much authority, and he's tried to take over, but don't give him one more ounce of authority in your life. Because he's come to deceive us. He's come to deceive the people of God if he can. Now, you know that we have so many that's just not able to choose between good and bad and truth and error. So that's why you're going to have to help your children know good from evil and darkness from light. You're going to have to know what they're looking at on their iPads and what they're hearing at school and what they're learning. And you may have to go to the school board. But I'm just saying there's a lot of things for us to deal with today because people are hungry. Many people are hungry for the truth. Others don't even know the truth. They don't know if it's truth or if it's a lie. Is it a lie or is it the truth? And so this is why it's so important that we know what we believe. When your pastor, if you're listening to me, you don't go to Landmark, you go to another church. When your pastor is preaching or you're listening to somebody else or you're getting the word in the morning in your or evening in your prayer time and your devotional time, well, make sure you have a journal or write it down on your phone. But get that word and write that down so you'll have it. So you won't be speaking out of both corners of your mouth like some do. You won't be compromising, but you'll know this is the truth and I will walk in this because so many are confused. Listen, people today, they're confused about God. They're confused about the church. They're confused about vaccines of all things. Oh my goodness. They're confused about their morality, about righteousness and holiness, and they're confused about their sexuality. Confused about their sexuality. I know there's children watching tonight, but can you imagine a doctor, this is what they're voting on up in DC, about being able to change a little 5-year-old boy's sexuality or a little 14-year-old girl. Unbelievable, church. We have to do more than pray. We pray, yes, but we speak truth. We know what we believe, and you call your senator. You say, Pastor, are you a politician? No, I'm bringing the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is straight. It is as straight as an arrow. He didn't mince words. He told us exactly what he meant when he was talking to us in his word. In the church today, I'm telling you, people are accepting compromise. We're living in such a compromising day. It's just disgusting and it's scary and it's so disappointing to pastors that people are just living in compromise and they take on the lifestyles of the world and don't think about it. Don't think a thing about it. And many inside the church are caught up in perversion, men and women in pornography, flirting around. There's just so much going on. Not just in the world, but within the church, with the people of God, the people of God. And so, folks, get into the Word. I mean, read your Bible and stay with the believers. Stay with the people of your own. If you start running with the world, you're running with only the people at work, and you don't run with the people of God. I'm just telling you, things are going to get stranger and stranger. You say, well, when revival breaks out and people are being healed and the prophecies are just accurate, that's going to take care of things. Oh, really? Well, if you'll read back a little bit and you'll see the Gospels, Jesus healed a man who was a lunatic. He was both deaf and blind and couldn't speak and couldn't hear, and he was demon-possessed. He was living in the tombs and he was cutting himself. They had chained him up and he went wild and Jesus delivered him. And did you know those Pharisees I was telling you about the last week or two? They kicked him out of town. And that's one of the reasons he died on the cross. Of course, he died for us. We know that. But if you think they're going to be happy when we start seeing miracles, signs, and wonders, it's just going to get worse. So I'm just saying we must stay together. We must stay together. Sheep stay together in their flocks. They stay close. They need each other. We need you. You need us. We need the Word. And we need the Holy Spirit working among us. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. People, you cannot get away from that. There is truth. And now people say there's no absolute truth. No, He is the truth. He is the way. There's no other way. There's not many more ways. And He's the life. And if you don't have a life, this is the life you need. Okay, this is the only life that you'll be able to succeed with in success is the life of Jesus in your heart. And I'm just telling you, folks, we'd better get these chains of confusion broken and better get these chains taken off of us before we wound up on the wrong side, because this thing is moving quickly. It's moving so fast. Listen, the thing about President Trump, that train has left the station. Now, I would love to see him get back in, and some are prophesying that he'll be back in August, because they're saying that these lies and the voter fraud and all that's going to be exposed. Maybe it will. I pray it is. All I know is now that train's left the station. As I said, that's over. That's done. And we're waiting and we're praying. And I pray that comes to pass. But I'm saying now there's so many other things, and they're just happening one right after the other since Biden and Harris came into office. So there's much to be said, and this confusion is going to get worse. So folks, I plead with you tonight, know that confusion comes from the devil, and Satan has designed it. He's ordered it. He's authored it. You know, he wrote this book on confusion. He designed it to destroy the people of God's lives. So make sure your children, pay attention to what your children are doing. You that have teenagers, you've got a right hurt on them. I know that's takes a lot of work to call on your children and know where they are and know what they're doing and what time they're coming home and meet their boyfriends before they go out. See, all that just takes a lot of work. And parents today are so busy, or they're on their own life on Facebook, or their own life on their jobs, and they're not really paying attention. Come on, church, you better watch it, because it's happening fast. Now, let me read, and I'll start closing here, but I want to read to you a little bit in Romans chapter 8. Where's my Romans? Romans 8, I'm going to read verses 5 through 8. Listen to this. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, and nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So what is Satan after? Why is he so full of lust and wanting more and more authority and create more and more chaos and more confusion? Why? I just read it. Because if we are people of the flesh, it just said in verse 8 that we cannot please God. And we become enmity with God. Now, what does that word mean? Enmity means an enemy, hatred, and hostile. You say, Pastor, I'm not hostile toward God. I don't hate him. Well, the Bible says right here in verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh, if you're in pornography, if you're living in adultery, there's so many things we need to fix, like right now, church, it's serious. It's like, I'm like trying to pull a man out of a burning house right now. For those who live according to the flesh They set their minds on that way. Why? To please themselves. A little bit of pleasure for the moment. So they set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Can I say, if you set your mind on COVID, that's a thing of the flesh. Now, that thing, I believe, is passing over. Thank God for the vaccines that are here. If you take it, good. If you don't, that's good. Whichever you do is fine. But I'm just saying, quit putting your mind on the flesh and get it out of the flesh now. Find out who the speaker is and find out whether confusion is ruling your mind. Are you scared? Are you fluctuating back and forth all the time? Or do you have peace? For to be carnal, listen, to be carnally minded is death. And what's carnal mean? It means to please the appetites of the body and the appetites of the flesh. So you're doing something just to have a little pleasure? Watch out what games your kids are playing. What games are they playing? I mean, there's some really dangerous games. And right now they're wanting to take away guns. I think you better start with some of those games. Man, they're killing with all kinds of weapons. One lady brought her son in, and that little son was so confused. She said, tell the pastor what your weapon of choice is. Folks, I hate to tell you this because this is pretty gross. But do you know that 16-year-old kid said, my weapon of choice is a chainsaw to murder. That's what he said. So I think they better be taking these games away. Get the things out of your house that belong to the devil. If you're in pornography, you better throw that phone away. You better get that computer out of your house. You better move it because the devil's going to take over your home if you don't. He'll take over your finances, your marriage, and everything else you've got. Church, I can't tell you that there has ever been a more serious day than what we're in right now. So do you have confusion or do you have peace? Now in Romans 8:26, it says the Holy Spirit will help us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Get over to him. Now if you can pray in the Spirit, you need to be praying in the Holy Ghost. You need to be praying in tongues. And if you say, I don't pray in tongues and I don't pray in the Spirit, then ask the Lord to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, that you might be able to speak in a heavenly language. That's when your spirit communicates with God. Now, you can talk to God in English, of course, and he'll receive that. It said, present your petitions with thanksgiving, but pray in the Spirit when you don't know how else to pray. Because the Bible says there in Romans chapter 8, it talks about the whole creation is groaning. And they were talking about that 2,000 years ago. Today, the earth is groaning with earthquakes and famines and floods and locusts and plagues and tsunamis and volcanoes. The earth is convulsing. The earth, the Bible says it's groaning. And then Paul said, we also are groaning. Paul was looking at the persecuted church and he's like, man, we're groaning too. And I want to tell you, we're groaning in the church. We're all groaning in this thing, saying, God, how much longer? Come on, come in here and do something. Like Haggai said, come in here. Habakkuk said, Lord, how long will I call out to you and you won't help me? We're calling out to him, God, come quickly. We need you. And then it says the Holy Spirit is groaning. So the earth is groaning, the church is groaning, God's people are groaning, and the Holy Spirit is groaning. But the good thing about the Holy Spirit is he's groaning for us, and he makes intercession for us. In 2 Timothy, you know it. 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind, not a confused mind. He said, I've given you a sound mind, not a mind of confusion. So hear that, church. And I close with this. Isaiah 26:3, what did it say? He said, if he who keeps his mind in perfect peace, I will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Oh God, keep our minds in perfect peace as we keep them on you. I pray that he doesn't let us fall into confusion. Please, folks, if you were listening to me tonight, please do away with confusion the minute it comes. Do not give it one more place in your life. In Galatians, it says, give no place to the devil. And when they came to arrest Jesus, Jesus said, my time has come. But let me tell you something, devil. At one point, he called him, you go tell that fox. He said, let me tell you something, devil. You have no place in me. And I pray that every one of us tonight can say, devil, you have no place in me. Paul said this to in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2 and 3, under the church of God, which is at Corinth, I'll say which is at Porterville, Delano, Bakersfield, Tarabella, and all of our surrounding cities, under the church of God, Tillaria and Visalia, under the church of God at those cities, to them that are sanctified in Christ, Jesus called to be saints, Jesus called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And then he says this, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to help you live this life. Grace to help you get through and away from confusion. Grace to give you peace. And then he says, grace be unto you and peace. Confusion comes from where? Hell. And peace from where? From God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He also said in 1 Corinthians 1:10, now, listen, church, now I plead with you. He's begging you just like I am tonight. Paul said, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, this is so good, that you all speak the very same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. He said, I want you thinking the same thing. I want you speaking the same thing. And what is that? This. It's this. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. Amen. Oh, Father, our sweet Father in God, please do not let us fall victim to confusion. But you said as long as our minds were stayed on you, we would have perfect peace. Lord, there's some that Satan has come to, and he's shut them up, locked them in their home. Now, not everybody that's home is fearful, but there's some that are just so afraid. Help them, Jesus. I pray that tonight you would help them get past that. And Lord, if they're believing a lie, where they can fly on an airplane, or they can go here, and they can go into stores downtown, and Lord, those places, they don't even know who's in there. But Lord, we have our church, Lord, cleansed and washed, Lord, by the Ozone people. They're coming again tomorrow. Lord, we've done everything we can to keep our church. They're not spraying like that at Walmart and some of these places. So Lord, I pray we denounce the confusion. We denounce you in Jesus' name. We command you to leave God's people. We command you to get off of God's people fear, for God has given them a spirit, not a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. So we denounce a weakened mind. And Lord, I pray your word would be strong. Deliver anyone, Lord, that's living a life of carnality, Lord, or enmity, which is hatred against God, hostile against God, and Lord, carnalness, carnality. Lord, things that please the flesh, deliver them in time, for you are coming soon. Deliver them before they jump on the wrong side of this thing and can't get back. Lord, we call them back to salvation. Now listen, tonight, if you're having some real issues in your flesh, and your flesh is just about taking over your spirit, I'm going to pray with you right now that your spirit will rise up. And don't you dare be deceived. If you're in sin, then say I'm in sin and fix it. With the help of Jesus, he'll give you grace. But don't deny it. Come on, get rid of it. If you're in a relationship with another person or something else has taken over you. I mean, your job can be the third person. We don't want no third person in any marriage. Come on. Jesus is saying, I don't want a second person in our relationship either. It's you and Jesus. That's it. He doesn't want anything. He doesn't want any enmity between us. He doesn't want any carnality. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for my precious brother. I pray for my precious sister. No more excuses. No more listening to the lies of the devil. No more listening to the compromise. No more listening to comfort, 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 comfort. No more listening to any of the things that Satan would use to deceive and bring deception. But Jesus, you are the way, and you are the truth, and you are the life. And Father, may my brother and sister receive your blood covering tonight. Be healed, delivered, and set free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine on you, and may he be gracious to you and give you peace that passes understanding in your life, in your home, and in your finances, and in your very life, and in your righteousness. You are the righteousness of God. Grab it and hold on to it and be blessed in Jesus' name. I love you. Hope to see you Sunday. The Lord bless you.